everybody, to Nerdy School Wars, the film podcast. My name is Brian Stuffield. I'm your host. I'm the Ginger Ninja, and right next to me is Stay Puff Marshmallow Man, a.k.a. Matt Lobner, my co-host.
Who is not a ninja at all.
I will ninja you right now if you say that again. Say that again. I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Okay, I guess is his answer. So, on episode 38 today, as in May 15th, 2016. By the way, I'm going to say a fun history fact in terms of film that Matt's probably going to be like, oh, yes! Yay! 1 year ago today, Mad Max Fury Road came out in the theater. For those who are not watching the video, they're probably like, this, what was that flapping noise? It must have been like a dolphin or something. I'm like, no, it was just Matt going, like a children's TV show character.
Like an autistic.
That was very offensive. How dare you?
I am part autistic, so I can do that.
No. Okay, so on this episode, we are going to do the typical rundown. News, trailers, Blu-ray releases. I'm going to have my review of Money Monster because he didn't see it because he's a lazy bum. And the box office results for the weekend. So apparently, once again, for those of you who are generally watching every week, welcome back. But I forgot to take a picture of the news. I'm so stupid. Matt, look away, please. This will take literally 2 minutes. Thank you, Matt. Very, very much. Oh, there's not even that many news stories. But there's like 25 trailers. And done. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. The first news story is that Academy Award nominated director Lee Daniels, now he's the guy who made Precious, The Butler, Paperboy, he's currently the showrunner, one of the showrunners for Empire, which is one of the most popular shows on TV. By the way, people who watch Empire, the recent episode, holy fucking hell, Matt's like, did someone just sing?
Well, I have an idea what happened.
But you haven't watched it. No. Well, you don't watch Empire. Watch it, please, over the summer. Fine. Yeah. Oh, I see how it is. Lee Daniels, was announced like about 2 years ago to direct a biopic on the great comedian Richard Pryor. Sadly, he has dropped out because of scheduling conflicts, particularly with Empire. Now, this is a sad thing because Lee Daniels is one hell of a good director. I really like Precious. The Paperboy is a really weird film. I mean, let's not forget that Lee Daniels did direct Zac Efron. Let's not forget that. But then again, that movie is the one, and if Matt knows exactly where I'm going with this, he's probably like, oh, is that the one where Nicole Kidman pisses on Zac Efron? It is, in fact, that film. Because he gets stained by a jellyfish. That isn't a spoiler. And then The Butler, I liked it, but it was kind of an overrated film, in my opinion. But this Richard Pryor biopic, which was going to be starring on Mike Epps, I was really excited for it. Oprah Winfrey, I believe, was going to be playing his grandmother. And Eddie Murphy was going to play Richard Pryor's father. So, like, with Lee Daniels leaving, I'm upset by it because I think he's a very talented filmmaker. But if he's busy, I understand that. This Richard Pryor biopic has been in talks for, like, years. And I'm still interested in seeing it. But if they get someone very good to direct it, I think what they should do with this is get an African-American to direct it. It makes sense because, like, I would get, like, a Chris Rock to direct it or a
F. Gary Gray,
Antoine Fuqua to direct this. Like, I think it would be better to have an African-American direct it because I think that's what made Compton work so well because it was directed by an African-American. And, like, if you're directing something about a white person, and I don't want to sound racist, it's kind of better to direct it from a white guy. But we've seen white guys direct biopics about African-Americans. The guy who directed Ray was white. So, I mean, like, we've seen good examples of this, but Lee Daniels leaving, it's understandable, but it is upsetting because, I mean, people had their schedules planned, and because of this, I guess he had to leave. Just hopefully the cast still stays, just because I think Mike Epps would be a perfect Richard Pryor, because that's one of his biggest inspirations. So, I think that Lee Daniels leaving is upsetting, but it is understandable.
Yeah, besides how Empire's a moneymaker right now, I mean, why wouldn't you pass up, you know, a movie over Empire? Like, now, I was thinking more, yeah, I agree, like, we would get F. Gary Gray, because I was thinking, because, you know, he did Compton, and he knows how to make this really realistic.
But if they begin filming this like soon, he can't do it because right now he's filming Fast 8.
Well, I feel like they're gonna put it on ice for a little while, I would think.
As long as the cast still stays still, because Eddie Murphy hasn't been in films in like years. I mean, there's this film he did that just premiered at Tribeca called Mr. Church with him and Britt Robertson. I heard it was good. I hear he's great in it. But like the last time we really saw him on screen was in Tower Heist. Yeah. And the thing is, that was 5 years ago. So I mean, he hasn't really done anything. And for the last like straight up drama he did, excluding this Mr. Church because that hasn't come out yet, Dreamgirls is really the last big thing. That's obvious. In my opinion, that's the best performance that he's ever given, and he should have won the Oscar for it. But I mean, whatever happened happens.
Well, technically, even though we're not going good or bad, like technically the last dramatic performance, I think, wasn't that like 1,000 words? Somewhat dramatic.
That's kind of a comedy. That was the last movie that he actually did, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and that was like, what was that, 5 years ago?
Four.
Jeez.
But, I mean, I would hope that they pick someone good to direct this, because I think they have the talent to do that. All right, the next news story is that the next X-Men film, which takes place after Apocalypse, will be taking place in the 90s. Now, I think this is interesting because First Class took place in the 60s, Days of Future Past took place in the 70s, Apocalypse is taking place in the 80s. The next one's going to be about, like, the X-Force or the Mutants, the New Mutants. This film, I think this is what they're talking about. It's going to be the one that's directed by, Josh Boone, mm-hmm. He's the guy that made Fallen Our Stars. If you didn't know that he was going to be directing an X-Men film, I like this because, well, first of all, you and I were born in the 90s, but then again, we were born in the late 90s.
Like the end of the 90s.
Yeah. Exactly. We were literally born in 1998, mm-hmm. So I mean, like, I like this news. I think it's very cool that it's going with the typical X-Men trend right now.
I mean, yeah, like, what it seems like they're doing based on comparing this, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, and First Classes. I think it makes more sense now after Days of Future Past, they're trying to like show all the events that happened before, you know, when well, not to spoil the end of but Future Past, but if you haven't seen it yet, I have to say this. But you know how like when Logan or say Wolverine comes, you know, back into the current day, it's kind of, I think, explaining everything that happened, mm-hmm. before, and I think that's where it's going with these. They're just like not really anthology, but how should I say, like maybe like just backstory,
Speaking of X-Men and speaking of Wolverine, it's been confirmed that Wolverine 3 not only has begun filming, but it's rated R. I'm excited for this because the thing is, The Wolverine, which I really enjoyed, and also that and 3 are the only X-Men films I had to buy on Blu-ray because I'm trying to get all the X-Men films and rewatch them all of them, except for Origins, before Apocalypse comes out. The Wolverine was actually intended to be rated R, but they made some cuts just in case. You know, for the PG-13, and Fox wanted it to be PG-13. They made an unrated cut. Haven't seen it. I hear it's like 10 minutes longer, so it's not like that long. But this is great news. I'm very happy about this, and I cannot wait to see what Hugh Jackman does as his final, like in his final term as Wolverine. I cannot wait.
I wonder how
I'm really gonna be upset, but I can't wait. And it comes out in March, so it comes out in 10 months.
Yeah, I really dug the Wolverine.
Like, a lot of people did.
There were some issues, yeah, I know some stupid issues with the movie, but I still overall enjoyed that movie. Especially, I kind of liked how it wasn't pussing out about the whole, oh, if you get stabbed by claws, there's not going to be any blood or cut. Yeah, there is. And that's why I kind of wish it was rated R, because I think it would fit with that tone of that movie.
That's why I think they're making this rated R. And but also because of Deadpool, too.
Our special guest on the show today.
Get your hands off my Blu-ray!
Our special guest.
All right, but continue about this news story.
I'm kind of interested, because how are they going to do this?
I don't know.
Because the way the timelines changed, it's going to be interesting. Because technically, the last Wolverine movie is not canon.
It is, actually. Well, it takes place after 3.
Really?
Yes.
No, how should I say canon? Like,
it does take
it's
place.
It's canon in the old timeline, timeline.
Yeah, well, not in the new timeline.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, in the new timeline, it's not canon, so I'm wondering how it's going to go down. Like, are they going to just somehow rehash the other one but change it, or are they going to do something completely different?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting whatever they're going to do with this.
Okay, I'm sorry, people. Whenever you get text messages during the show, it's kind of upsetting, but I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I should have turned off my phone. Okay, the next news story is that it has been confirmed. Now, about a month or two ago, I said on the show that James Bobbin was in talks to direct the Men in Black 23 Jump Street crossover, mm-hmm. which is entitled MIB 23. Mm-hmm. It's been confirmed that he is directing it. In fact, he did say that when he was being interviewed for Alice Through the Looking Glass. And, I mean, we talked about this before. We said how we felt. I'm excited for this. I cannot wait to see what he does because I mm-hmm. really love the Muppet films he's directed. Well, the first one that's just called The Muppets. Muppets Most Wanted was okay. Alice Through the Looking Glass, from what I've seen, it looks okay, but I'm just hearing blah, things about it. Well, that's because it's Alice in Wonderland. But him doing this, I cannot wait for this.
Like,
and I mean, the title is so stupid, but it's full of stupidity, and it knows that it's stupid.
Well, it makes sense. That might be 23. Like, it just combined the two together.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, how is this going to go down? Are they just going to be sent in to infiltrate, like, the Men in Black?
Or I don't know. I don't need to know anything yet.
All I hope is that Phil Lord and Chris Miller are writing it.
They never wrote it. They just directed it. Huh? Matt Jonah Hill wrote the script.
Really? Oh.
Learn your research. Ah. See, and then he gets scared me, so he's like, eh! All
right.
That too. Okay.
Hope Jonah Hill writes it.
The next news story is that last week, shortly after we recorded the last episode, it was confirmed that Black Widow movie is finally happening. Mm-hmm. It's about fucking time. About time.
It's going to be interesting because we want to learn more about her backstory. Yes.
Okay, don't be me. You're not me. I'm not creepy like he is, but I mean...
The question is, are they going to do it like the modern timeline, which I think they're probably going to do right now?
I would think they would do the Mars.
But I wonder if they're going to do, like, flashbacks to, like, when she was a Soviet KGB assassin. That would be interesting.
I would think they would do that. I don't know.
To bring in a villain that's...
I do not know. Whatever they do, they have to do good. Okay, and hopefully they get a female director to do this. Okay, the next news story is one that just gets me excited. The Cannes Film Festival is going on right now. Martin Scorsese's there. And, Silence is not premiering there, actually. Actually, he's there because he's finding an international distributor for his upcoming film, which has been, like, long away by film fans, including myself, because Marty Scorsese is, like, in my top five favorite filmmakers of all time. The Irishman, if you guys do not know what this movie is, this film is supposedly going to star Robert De Niro, mm-hmm. Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci. It's going to be about the story of Jimmy Hoffa, someone I don't really know much about, and, this has been a film that's been talked about for, like, pretty much since the decade began, so 6 years. And, some international companies purchased this film because, obviously, Paramount's going to distribute it here in the U.S. And, they've been distributing all of Scorsese's films since, Shutter Island. And, yeah, this film needs to happen. Goodfellas is my favorite film ever made, so Pesci, De Niro and Scorsese reuniting again already gets me because, I mean, yeah, they did Casino together. I enjoyed Casino, but it's not, like, one of my favorite Scorsese films. I just don't love it like everyone else does, but I understand the love for it because, I mean, it's Scorsese and it's crime and it's casinos and shit, so it works very well. And Pacino has never worked with Scorsese ever.
Which is surprising, I said.
Well, they never worked with... None of these people have worked with Spielberg either, which is upsetting to me. No.
That'd be cool if he did, though.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to. This movie needs to happen. It's gonna happen, supposedly, but if they could get all three of these people to come on, because all these actors have said that they are gonna do this. International companies, just buy the fucking thing. It sounds great. It's fucking Scorsese. You need to do this. These three people, and supposedly the movie's going to cost more than $100 million to make because what they're going to do is use Benjamin Button technology to kind of use themselves to kind of age themselves. It's like what they did in the beginning of Ant-Man, not this isn't a spoiler, with Michael Douglas looking like he younger Michael Douglas. You know what a bad example is with this technology that makes you look young even though you're not? The Tron Legacy, Jeff Bridges. That's a horrible example, of course, and Matt's inside like this. But Brian, I like that one!
Brian, I like that movie.
I don't care if you like that movie, I just said that... The animation, but whatever. Matt, give your thoughts on this, please, because considering you have only seen the Tiny Mouse Scorsese films.
Well, I was going to talk about Hoffa, because that's an interesting story, Hoffa.
Don't tell me anything. I don't know anything about this.
Honestly, like, I don't know, like, a lot. All I know is the whole rumors of where his body's buried, but, you know.
Yes, that's basically what the whole movie's going for, but I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to know what the man did. I know the man was a gangster, but I don't want to know anything, okay? So don't tell me anything!
Yeah, I mean, I want to know more about, like, Hoffa, because I barely know shit about Hoffa.
Okay, well, just be honest, like...
But I'm being honest, I really don't know a lot about Hoffa.
Okay, but could you please give your thoughts on this movie? Speak! Speak!
I wonder who's gonna play Hoffa.
De Niro, probably! Probably De Niro. Most likely De Niro. I would think it would be him.
It'd be funny if it was Pesci, because he was...
I wouldn't mind if Pesci played him either. And I wouldn't mind if Pacino played them.
All we know is...
They've all played gangsters, and they all played them well. It's... Yeah!
All we know is that one of them supposedly is going to get buried in MetLife Stadium. That's all we know.
Why MetLife Stadium?
Because fucking they decided to dump his body there. I don't fucking know.
But MetLife Stadium didn't even... I don't even know when this takes place. Don't tell me.
Well, it's the area, you know, like the where they built it. The Meadowlands area right there.
What? I didn't know that.
It's been a long time, rumor, Brian.
I don't know this stuff. I never even heard of this man. It's like I never heard of Whitey Bulger before fucking Black Mass came out.
I knew Whitey Bulger. Oh.
I knew of him, I just didn't know anything about him. Alright, fine. I guess we're done with this topic because I guess you won't talk anymore.
I'm just saying.
Alright, next news story. Jack Black and Kevin Hart are confirmed to join the Jumanji reboot. Also, it's been announced that the movie's going to be honoring Alan Parrish, who was Robin Williams' character in the original. I'm really looking forward to this Jumanji reboot. And the thing is with this... I love Jack Black. I don't care what people say. He's fun to watch on screen. And his voice is just awesome. Like, as a panda, he works very well. And Kevin Hart, say what you want about him. He's fine. But I can't wait. The Rock's going to be in this, so I mean, I'm excited for this. I'm looking forward to this movie. I'm curious to know which actor is going to play. Obviously, The Rock's going to play the kind of Robin Williams character. I think Jack Black is going to play the David Allen Greer character. Kevin Hart, not sure who he's going to play. I haven't seen Jumanji in a long time, so I can't really say I remember all of it. Obviously, I remember the basic plot of it, but like I don't remember everything about it. So, all right.
First,
talk about Jack Black.
Okay, I'm going to talk about that, but I'm going to get my conspiracy theory, but yeah.
What conspiracy theory?
Well, just like the thought of what the like what's gonna happen. I feel like that Jack Black's probably gonna play the older version of one of the his character was from the first one. I forgot the names.
I don't remember the character's name, so I only remember the actors.
The young kid, whatever his name is.
Nah, I don't think that. I don't know.
No, but here's what I was thinking.
Because there's a rumor going around. Actually, no, this is a theory. That because when the movie came out, young Kristen Dunst was in it. There, like, someone made a theory saying that if she came back, that would be pretty cool playing the same character. It would be cool, but I don't know if that would be needed.
Well, it's not that. I was just thinking that he would have the game, and then one day he would invite his friend over, who is Kevin Hart. They both get drunk, and they're like, hey, let's play some Jumanji.
Why do you assume that they get drunk?
I don't know. Because he knows what the game does, then they get drunk and forget. I don't know.
Oh, Matt.
And then they run into the Rock, and then later in the game, they find the skeleton. I don't know.
Okay, Matt. If you assume that, then whatever. Okay, next news story. It has been announced that... this is the last news story, excuse me. It has been announced that Ridley Scott and Drew Garth are re-teaming for the Western Wrath of the Broken Land. Now, this is actually going to be the first Western that... Ridley Scott's ever directed. Now, if you don't know who this team is, they are the writer-director team of The Martian, which was my favorite film of 2015. So I'm automatically excited for anything that they do together. I'm not going to lie, I don't know anything about this except that it's a Western. It sounds pretty cool. Ridley Scott has never done a Western, although The Martian actually did feel like a Western in my eyes, and that was kind of something that a lot of people were saying online. They're like, The Martian felt like a space Western. I could totally agree. I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, really, Scott, after The Martian, I'm excited to see whatever else he does. Right now, he's filming Alien Covenant, which I'm really pumped for because I can't wait to see the continuation of the Prometheus story. He's going to be directing the... I forgot what else he's going to be directing. I'll have to look that up. But I'm really looking forward to this movie. I don't know anything about it. And, yeah, the team behind The Martian... Hopefully you get Matt Damon to be in it, and then we are good.
It's cool that we're starting to see, like, a Western resurgence right now. Like, this year, first was, like, the Magnificent, the Majestic River was...
Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven, and I got this, so... It's cool that, you know, that they're doing a Western film, because we don't really see a lot of Westerns anymore. They're, you know, they've been gone and done since, like, the 70s and 60s, but... For people who don't know, it was a very popular genre back in that day, and it's really cool because are they going to go with like a full-on Western, or are they going to go like a spaghetti Western?
I don't know. I do not know, but who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? I could have sworn he was directing some upcoming film with DiCaprio. Could have sworn. They don't list it here. Whatever. Okay, so 21 minutes into the show, now we're going to get into the trailers. First trailer, Inferno. Now, this is the third installment of the Dan Brown Da Vinci Code Agents of Demons franchise. The movie stars Tom Hanks and Felicity Jones. Tom Hanks comes back as his character. Apparently, he has amnesia. That's what it says in the plot. I don't care for these Da Vinci Code films. I know he does, but he'll give opinions later. Mm-hmm. This trailer didn't do anything for me. It kind of looks very sloppy. I love Tom Hanks, so I'll go see anything with him. And Felicity Jones is terrific. This is going to be a big year for her because, obviously, Rogue One comes out later this year. She's already big because she's an Oscar nominee, but not a lot of people know her because people were in the Force... When they were watching the Rogue One trailer, they're like, oh, who is this? This woman looks pretty cool. So I'm curious about it. And Ron Howard's come back to direct it. I love Ron Howard, but I don't know. This film just doesn't look that great to me. It is just a teaser trailer, so maybe we get another trailer. Maybe my opinion will change, but I didn't really care for this trailer. Now let's hear from someone who actually cares about the Da Vinci Code stuff.
Well, just to say like a background, I've read two of the books. I've read Angels of Demons and Da Vinci Code. And I do enjoy watching the movies. I do like Angels of Demons more than Da Vinci Code. But I do enjoy watching the movies, even though I know they're not the best, most polished movies.
You could be honest.
Yeah, that's I'm being honest. Like, I actually enjoy watching them. I don't know, something about like watching Obi-Wan be like a priest. You know, it's weird, but it's cool. But I watched the trailer, because technically they skipped over the third book.
Who cares if they skipped
the
over
the book?
Who cares?
No, it's
Angels and Demons was considered a prequel to the Da Vinci Code.
I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of interested because, I mean, I didn't read Inferno, and I do know it's about Dante's Inferno and stuff involving that, so it's a very, interesting thing because it's a very fascinating thing that I would like to know more about. But, looks okay. I mean, they didn't really blow me away, but I'm like, yeah, it looks okay.
Okay, next trailer, Queen of Katay. Now, this is a Disney film. It's one of those Disney biographical films. This stars David Oyelowo and Lupita Nyong'o, two of the finest actors we have in our industry today. This is about a girl who's like a big chess champion, then she goes to like the World Championship of Chess. I don't know what it's called. I can't really remember. It looks good. I'm not going to lie. I'm not like pumped for this movie. I do like it whenever Disney does their live-action true story films. They're usually very good with the stuff, like with their sports films and stuff. I didn't see The Finest Hours. I heard it was okay, but I'll probably see that when it comes out on Blu-ray for sure. It looks very good. Lupita Nyong'o is a fantastic actress. I mean, she's an Oscar winner. She's already big with Disney because she was in Star Wars. She's Maz Kanata. She was just in The Jungle Book. And David Oyelowo is a terrific actor. I didn't love Selma, but I loved his performance as Martin Luther King Jr. I thought he was a terrific MLK. And the young girl in this movie, she looks like she's going to be great in the film. I don't know who's directing it. I have to look that up. But I am looking forward to this film. I thought this was a very heartwarming trailer, as expected from Disney. Does it look predictable? Yes, it is. But I like the trailer. I enjoyed it.
I mean, Disney's are the king of these types of movies. I never watched Million Dollar Arm, but...
Dude.
What?
Dude! That was a good film!
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know McFarlane USA also, you know, remember the times... All
didn't
these,
see that one, didn't see McFarlane.
Just all these, all these movies, though, like, they all, like, are like, oh, they all follow, you know, just same, like, progression, but they're all really good because of how well they're done, so... this looks really good. Alright, you got two great actors... that's all I gotta say about it. Like, it's about chess in Uganda. So, yeah.
Yep. Next trailer, Cafe Society. Now, this is the new film from Woody Allen. It just opened at the Cannes Film Festival, which is going on right now as we speak. And I thought when I said speak, you were going, ah!
And produced by Amazon Studios.
Yes. Now, this film stars Jesse Eisenberg, Steve Carell, Blake Lively, Kristen Stewart, Corey Stoll. Fantastic cast. I love the trailer. I cannot wait for this. Woody Allen is a very hit or miss director, but, I'm going to say this right now. This looks like it's going to be one of his better films this decade. Midnight in Paris is still my favorite film that he's done. I love Blue Jasmine. Annie Hall is great. He's made a lot of good films, but he's also made a lot of bleh films. His last two were bleh, but I'm really looking forward to Cafe Society. This cast, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart reuniting again? Adventureland, then American Ultra, and now this? I cannot wait. And the cool thing is, with his character, he was like, he moves to Hollywood, meets Kristen Stewart, then he goes back to New York, and then meets Blake Lively's character. I'm looking forward to this. Now, an interesting fact, I don't know if you know this, but when this movie was announced, originally Bruce Willis was going to be in this. He was going to play Steve Carell's character, but then he had to drop out because he was in the Misery Broadway play. So then Steve Carell came in, so that's a good choice. And Corey Stoll's character looks like he's going to be very entertaining, because I love Corey Stoll. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this film. It looks very good. Love this trailer. Cannot wait for the movie. Now, coming from someone who hasn't seen a Woody Allen film, speak!
When I was watching, like, this looks, I'm just like, I'm trying to, like, grasp what I'm watching, because it's like, the way the trailer is, it's very, like, you know, all over the place, the trailer.
Excuse me.
In a good way. In a good way.
You better be telling the truth.
Alright? Like, yeah, I was like, okay, all I know is Jesse Eisenberg is a guy who went to Hollywood and came back and met some ladies, and T. Carell yells at him.
Yes. And it takes place in the golden age of Hollywood, the 1930s.
So, it's like,
come on. Alright, be honest.
Okay, I never watched Woody Allen, so I don't know how, the type of films he has.
He's very quirky. He's very quirky.
Like a Mel Brooks quirky, or?
Not that quirky. Mm-hmm. Kind of more lighthearted quirky. Uh-huh. Not like Mel Brooks quirky. That's too quirky. That's satire. This is not satire. Alright, next trailer. The Accountant. This stars Ben Affleck, Anna Kendrick, and J.K. Simmons. This film is directed by Gavin O'Connor, who directed Warrior. He recently directed Jane Got a Gun, which I have yet to watch. I'm not going to lie, this trailer, I forgot that this movie was actually coming out, because I knew he had some other film coming out this year, and I knew, I mean, yeah, he's going to appear in Suicide Squad, but I forgot that he was doing this film. I liked the trailer a lot, and the music was there, everything, I don't know who sings the song, I'll have to look that up, but I liked the trailer. It's weird because he doesn't say a single word in this movie, but the cool thing is about this movie, it looks very interesting because in the day he's an accountant. At night, he's an assassin. This movie looks really good. I cannot wait. I really like the trailer a lot. You got star caliber talent in this movie. So I'm already sold. You got Oscar winner Ben Affleck, Oscar nominee Anna Kendrick, and Oscar winner J.K. Simmons. And you got a few other people there too. But those are the three headlining the film. So I'm really looking forward to this film. I cannot wait to see it.
It's like an interesting, like, it's like you put a Manhunt movie with Dexter, but make him an accountant. It's kind of like what it is. And if you want to say maybe shades of Tom Cruise's character from, a movie I haven't seen, you know.
Come on! Don't bring that up because you never saw it!
But I wanted you to bring it up.
No, I didn't have that in my mind.
But yeah, this, it does look interesting, because especially Ben Affleck's character in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to say much, but it's really like, that's kind of interesting that he's doing this and he has this, like, it's, we have to see how it's going to come out, but I think it looks good.
I won't be able to see all these Oscar films because I'll be in college. He'll be here, still at college, but I'll be away at college.
But you have a movie theater there.
25 minutes away, you could just be here and you could see everything. I won't be able to go see everything, I'm not here. And the money, man.
Yeah. It's like,
so you better not see everything.
Don't worry, I won't.
Good boy. The last three trailer. Wait, three? Hold on. Yeah, three more trailers. The last three trailers are, in my opinion, my favorite trailers of this week. First up, Billy Lynn's long halftime walk. Now, this is directed by Ang Lee. It's based on a fictional book. I thought this was based on a true story when I first heard about it. I love Ang Lee. I think he's a terrific filmmaker. Brokeback Mountain and Life of Pi are my two favorite things that he's ever directed. I mean, those are the films he won his directed Oscars for, so I mean, that's saying something. This guy has not seen an Ang Lee film. Shh, don't tell anyone. Okay. Love this trailer. It looks beautiful. It looks great. It's going to be in 3D. I'm going to see this in 3D. Because Ang Lee's last film, Life of Pi, was a 3D spectacle. I can't speak! Help me! What's the word? Spectacle.
Yes.
Oh my god, I can't speak today. Wow. Thank you for that. But I'm really looking forward to it. And the cast is really interesting. I mean, Kristen Stewart's here. Chris Tucker. Vin Diesel.
As his military bro. It's like...
Steve fucking Martin? What? What? And then the kid that's playing Billy Lynn is a new guy. It really looks great. And stuff with Kristen Stewart's character, when she's crying throughout the whole trailer. And I'm like, this is the... I love Kristen Stewart in these kinds of films. That's why I love it whenever she's outside of something like Twilight. Because people judge her for that series. And yet she's so good in most of the stuff she does outside of Twilight. So, I mean... Yeah, great trailer. I loved it. And now coming from someone who hasn't seen the Ang Lee film, what you think?
There's so many directors this week I haven't seen a lot of movies from.
No, you haven't.
It's sad.
So what did you think?
It looks like probably one of the most like realistic military stories I think I've seen in like a while from a trailer. It's kind of interesting how they're not just gonna like. I'm gonna be shooting some fire at some good military movies that you know. We're good, but they still don't have like some of these elements that this movie's having.
Like the non-linear storyline where it's probably going to be him on the field?
Yeah,
walking and reminiscing everything.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm trying to say. Like, because it's interesting because like movies like Hurt Locker and American Sniper. I mean, I'm just going to bring those up because those are two big ones with that. Zero Dark Thirty did a good job of that, but these two, like, here's why: because even though they are good movies, maybe American Sniper, maybe a little bit, too much, but you know, even though they're both good movies, they don't really spend a lot of time on the impactfulness of this. I mean, they do at the end, but not really a lot.
Sniper, I don't think did a great job depicting it. Really,
I mean,
because I felt like they tried too hard to focus on like his family, but yet we didn't really get much of his family. And this is off to, I liked American Sniper, but I didn't love it. Like, a lot of people did. A lot of people our age loved the crap out of American Sniper. It's a very well-done film. Easily Clint Eastwood's best film in, like, years. But, like, it lacks kind of the emotional impact. Everything with him, just with Bradley Cooper, Chris Kyle, was heartbreaking. But, like, with his family, like, yeah, I wanted to know more about his family, but we just didn't get enough. But, like, back to what you, like, what do you think of this movie?
I think it looks really good, though. Because it not only is it, like, balancing, like, the war, traumatic war scenes... They're also, like, just have the home life and how...
I said with Kristen Stewart's character when she asked him at the end what really happened over there. Like,
yeah,
that's
what I said. Like,
and it looks visually gorgeous. It looks gorgeous. Like, the stuff in the stand looks beautiful. And Ang Lee is no stranger to brilliant visual effects. Like, what he did with Life of Pi was incredible. Incredible. Nothing, like... So real, like, combining a human with a CGI tiger was just insane. But, I mean, yeah, Billy Lynn's long halftime walk, great trailer.
It looks, it's going to be a heartbreaking movie, most likely.
Yeah, Oscars, pay attention to this. The second to last trailer we're going to be talking about, Yoga Hoosers. This is directed by my boy Kevin Smith, the greatest filmmaker from the state of New Jersey. This is supposedly going to be the second installment in his Moose Jaws trilogy. I forgot the name of the trilogy. It's Tusk, then this, and then Moose Jaws. I'm gonna have to look up the name of the trilogy. I'll do that as soon as he gets his thoughts. I love Kevin Smith. I like Tusk. I didn't love it like I wanted to, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I was curious about this. This film does star Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter as the Colleens, which I think is very clever. This movie premiered at Sundance. A lot of people were like, about it. A few people did say that they shouldn't have shown a certain thing in the trailer. But I'm not going to lie. It's really entertaining. I was laughing my ass off watching this trailer. There's so many funny moments. First of all, I think these two girls are going to do a great job. And by the way, Lily Rose Depp, Johnny Depp's daughter, call me. You are so fucking cute. Holy shit. Sorry, Harley Quinn Smith. I'm sorry. If you want to call me too, that's fine. I'll hook you up with someone else. No, it looks very funny. Looks like it knows how stupid it is. Johnny Depp's character from Tusk is coming back, which I think is very clever. And then I kept on saying this to Matt, but there's a line in the trailer, like these two guys, one of them is Austin Butler, and then the other is Tyra Posey. They're like, I would like to invite you to my party. Austin Butler's like, I would like to invite you to my party. And one of the girls is like, a senior party? And then Tyra Posey's like, a neater nardy? I can't stop repeating that line, a neater nardy? A neater nardy?
It's it's infectious.
But no. I'm really looking forward to this movie. It looks really silly. The Bratzies, who, in fact, I want Matt to guess who they're played by, but I'll let him get to that after he's once I'm finished with my thoughts. You have to say who you think. Just keep on thinking as I speak. I'm looking forward to the movie. I cannot wait to see it. It probably won't come here in Jersey, but we'll see what happens.
Is it Kevin Smith?
It is Kevin Smith. He's playing all the Bratzies.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Like they're Nazis, but
they're sausages and Nazis.
Oh,
she said in the trailer they're both Bratwurst and Nazis. She said it was clear. She said Bratzies are Johnny Depp's like, what are Bratzies? They're both Bratwurst and Nazis. All right.
Literally, like my face after trailer is like, you're like, are you okay?
Because you were just like, at first I thought you were like, oh, this sucks.
No, like, I was like, what did I just watch? In a good way? Okay, I've never watched Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, but you don't have to see Clerks to see this.
No. Because
this has nothing to do with,
like, this comedy, you know. I've never really been exposed to his comedy that much.
Dude, by the way, when I saw him 2 weeks ago, the guy's a fucking great speaker. I just watched this episode of The Flash that he directed. Fucking fantastic episode. I cannot wait for him to come back to Flash Season 3. He's going to be probably doing an episode or two with the third season of Flash, by the way. He doesn't watch Flash. Shh.
I don't watch TV really at all.
No, you don't. Which is a sham.
A sham? Sham, wow.
It is a sham. True North trilogy.
I guess it looks good.
No, be honest. Do you think if you think it looks bad, it's fine. But it looks it's stupid. That's the thing. He didn't make this film for the critics. He made this film for himself.
Just like Tusk.
That's what he said on stage. He said the critics fucking hate me, so it doesn't really fucking matter. Like he said.
Smith has almost never been praised by critics ever.
Except for Clerks.
Obviously his early movies, but like name me one other movie except Clerks.
Mallrats, he got good reception for. Obviously, Clerks 2, he got good reception for.
That's it.
I think Jane, Silent Bob received good reviews. I have to think. Obviously, Cop Out didn't because that wasn't. But didn't you see Cop Out?
Yeah, that's the only one
he didn't write that.
Shitty, yeah.
And he admits that didn't go as well as.
Because I mean, I find it funny that the whole plot is all over a baseball card, but other than that, it's.
Yeah, but. Yeah. All right, so should we go on to the final trailer?
I'll just say it looks fun. It looks something that's nonsensical, and just like if you want to watch something stupid, that's funny.
I agree with you 100%. And the last trailer, the biggest trailer this week, is definitely Assassin's Creed. Now, full disclosure, I love the original games. Matt hasn't played any of the games, so this is going to be something different.
I played multiplayer.
You played multiplayer, but not campaign.
Which I hate they took that out. Fucking
I stopped playing Assassin's Creed after 4.
I got 5 all right. Free, so I should probably play
all that. Right. This film is being directed by the guy who made Macbeth, which I have not seen.
I don't want to see it.
Still haven't seen it. Try to find it soon. Stars Michael Fassbender, Marianne Cotillard, and Jeremy Irons. Now, if you guys do not know what Assassin's Creed, like this main storyline of Assassin's Creed is, it's about these guys go into the Amunus. And they go and follow the timelines of their ancestors and stuff. Now, this guy, the character that Michael Fassbender is playing is an original character, Kalen Lynch. It's not going to be anything relevant to the game. Obviously, it's going to follow the same kind of storyline as the game. This one takes place in the Spanish Exposition, which is not in any of the games. So, I think that's very cool. I love the footage we got in this trailer. Yeah. I love this trailer. I cannot wait. Now, here's the thing, though. Before I get to, like, finish my thought. Wait. Well, I'll say this. The film looks beautifully shot. The action looks fantastic. The acting looks great. Michael Fassbender is such a damn good actor that I'm fine with seeing him in anything. Like, he played Steve Jobs. He's playing an assassin here. He plays Magneto. He played a slave owner.
Who beat the shit out of, like...
No, I mean, like, he could play anything. He could even play a fucking raccoon if he wanted to. But the thing is, with this movie...
For fuck's sake, he played, like, a megalomaniac. It's like...
That, too. He could play a fucking washing machine if he wanted to.
He could play your mom. What?
What did you say?
Just put on a wig. Shave the beard.
Okay. But no. I'm really... really looking forward to this. Now, a lot of people... Oh, actually, wait. Before I get to the big thing that everyone's complaining about.
No.
Now, the thing is, with this movie and Warcraft, these are two movies that could possibly break the curse of us finally getting a good or great video game movie. We've had some silly ones that we all enjoy secretly, like Mortal Kombat. I mean, come on. But I think this is going to be the better film. But I wouldn't be surprised if Warcraft is actually good because Duncan Jones is helming it. Now, the big... Alright, well, before we get into the big issue that everyone's talking about, and I think you might know what it is, tell me what you thought of it. What you thought of this trailer, because you haven't played the games, but you said you played...
Basic understanding of
it. No, everyone has a basic understanding. Well, most people do. Video game players like you should have a basic understanding of what the Assassin's Creed storyline is like.
It's convoluted as fuck, but yes, I haven't... Well, after 3, I got convoluted. But it is interesting how they pulled somewhat of a source code move. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say it if you haven't watched the trailer, but if you watch Source Code, then you understand what they tried to pull, yeah.
But give your thoughts on it. Be honest.
I think it looks, like, as itself as the movie, I think it actually looks really fucking good. It actually looks like an original movie, in a way. Not like...
This movie has to be good. It has to be good.
If it's not good, game movies are done for, yeah.
No, if Warcraft ain't good...
But Warcraft's the appetizer. This is, like, the main fucking course.
It is the main course. Yeah. Well, Warcraft could be a main course, too. No, I think the appetizers are the anime video game movies. Like, Ratchet and Clank kind of got stomped. Angry Birds comes out. I've heard mixed things. I've heard mostly positive things about Angry Birds. But then again, that's an anime and movie. So it's not like a live-action skeptical. But, yeah, continue your thoughts on this.
Like, the cinematography is beautiful. First of all, we should probably say that. It is cool that they're doing the Spanish Inquisition. So I wonder if there's going to be, like, a torture scene in the movie.
I would think there is. There hasn't... They never really did anything involved with Spain, I don't think, in the series. I don't believe...
Well, if you count Black Flag, they did, but...
Yeah, Black Flag, they did. Yeah, they did. Black. I don't know what they did in Unity or Syndicate.
Well, I know Unity's in France. Syndicate's in Industrial Revolution Britain. And then, obviously, 3 is in United States. Well, technically, North America. And then, yeah, obviously,
the other ones are
in Italy, and Turkey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
and then, I forgot the first one was in the Middle East, I think, so, yeah.
I haven't played the first one.
I haven't played the first one in years. Yeah,
so it's been years.
Which, actually, that reminds me. Since I played the first one. His, like, suit looks a little bit like Altair's, which is pretty cool.
I think we brought that up when the first look came out of the costume, I think back in, like, October, I think.
I mean, hopefully he's... I mean, I don't think he's playing Altair, but...
No, he's not. No, he's playing Kalen Lynch.
No. His
The character's a fictional character. Name, really? I don't know. I'll probably hear it when they...
Maybe the assassin or something. Yeah. Yeah,
but everything else, the action looks great. The fucking... The leap of fucking faith!
Yep.
The leap of faith!
Which would probably kill you.
Oh, that made me cry!
Probably gonna kill you, but...
He did it so perfectly. It did it in the air, and then he flipped. It was perfectly accurate.
God, it's just so glossy looking. Looks so good. Like, even if it's not good, like, we could say this. At least if they're not good, these two movies, at least we could say they look fucking beautiful.
This one looks beautiful. The other one looks kind of more heavy CGI.
Looks good, but, yeah, you know, it's not bad for CGI, but this just looks like, oh, jeez, that's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Now let's address the issue. Kanye West is in this. I am a god. Listen, I'm going to say this right now. I don't like Kanye as a person. when you marry a Kardashian, you're kind of a fucked up person. Actually, no, I sound mean for saying that.
More like, if you marry Kim, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. His song did not fit with the trailer. No. I'm going to acknowledge that it did not fit. I like the song. I understand why they put it in because, you know, the God words to it. And I get it. They want to get people to go see it. I get it on a promotional standpoint. People keep on complaining that this song is going to be in the movie. I hope it's not in the movie. I don't think it would be in the movie, to be quite honest. But it, maybe if they did it more instrumental. If they wanted to play the song with words, maybe they could have put a little more of a...
older feel to it? Yeah. Like, you know, like, and it's kind of like when we go back to Warcraft's trailer, you know, when the last one that came out was all dubsteppy, and everyone's like, ugh, like the same, it kind of got that same feeling, like, oh, the movie looks good, but the like, you know, the music doesn't
fit. Yeah, everyone's like praising the footage, but everyone's just like, oh, the music.
The dubstep.
Excuse me. the music.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah, the music. Dubstep. Even though the dubstep is cool, it just doesn't fit in that movie. Same
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, this. But I don't want to diss. I know it seems that everyone. A lot of people dissed the girl in the train trailer because it had Heartless in it. That song actually went with the tone of the girl. Yeah, it fit. Yes, I get it. Kanye's not a likable person. I don't want to talk about him for too long.
He's
but
got
he
good
is,
music.
He's a good musician. He's just an idiot.
No, he's just, I don't like him in general, even though he's a good... It's kind of like how recently with Tarantino, how I feel like, oh, he's a great filmmaker, but as a person... Yeah.
So that is it with the trailer. So now 46 minutes into the episode. Now we're going to go to the Blu-ray releases. We'll be very quick with this. Deadpool came out. I bought the movie. Obviously, it's a buy for me. And it's a buy from you. Now I'm going to open it because supposedly there's something inside it. Can you hand me my keys, please?
Live unboxing. You see it here first, kids.
There's something inside that really just... I heard kind of makes me laugh, but also it's kind of a very honest thing. I'm curious to know what this is, so this will take a few minutes. So yeah, Deadpool, fantastic film. Ryan Reynolds was perfect. I didn't give it... I'm the only one of our group of friends who didn't give it an A+, and I still stand by that. Well, obviously, I haven't rewatched the film yet, because if I did, this thing would already be open. But I loved Deadpool. It was a great start. It was the first great movie of 2016, and I just personally felt that... there were some weak elements to the villain and kind of the action.
His name is Francis.
Shut up. Yes, I know. Francis. Where the fuck is your boss? Where the fuck is Francis? Like, I understand that it...
I like Francis, too.
That, like, yeah, it was meta, but then there were some things that just didn't work. And the story was kind of formulaic. It was kind of simple and stuff. Okay, let's open this bad boy.
Yeah, I think the only thing, like, I think the only way that would fix that would be if it was self-aware of itself. It's like, yeah, we know it's formulaic.
Okay, so first of all, the digital download code's on here.
Touch yourself.
No, but it actually kind of means something. I'll read this. Okay, it
oh,
says...
oh, God. It's
all right. All right, it's like a testicular cancer...
awareness.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, it's funny, but, first of all, it's like...
it makes sense with the movie,
It's sponsored by the Testicular Cancer Awareness Foundation, but also it does say, like, it tries to add some light to it by saying, go ahead, touch yourself to Testicular Cancer Monthly Self-Exam. Number one, grab your man berries. Number two, examine your bag of beans. Number three, get familiar. And number four, feel for changes. Like, it makes sense, but it's a very nice thing. Yeah, this movie's a buy for me, and then, of course, it's
like,
a buy for
I think it's kind of just say, like, let's say, if you haven't watched the movie, it makes sense with his character.
Well, obviously, everyone knows that his character gets...
cancer! But in what area? That's the question.
Yeah. But go ahead, just give your brief thoughts on
the
movie.
I love this movie. I kind of hate, like, I'm really behind on buying movies.
Yeah, you still haven't gotten the fucking Force Awakens.
I gotta get Force Awakens, I gotta get this. Like, I'm super behind.
The Force Awakens.
I still gotta get, like, freaking The Big Short still. That's how
you're gonna buy The Big Short?
Because I need to rewatch that movie. I love that movie.
Rent it. Don't buy it. I wouldn't buy it. I have it at my job.
At my job.
You can rent it for my job, but you have to bring it back 3 days later.
3 days? No. No, this movie's great. Like, if he could talk right now, he'd say, go watch my fucking movie, he'd say.
Exactly.
Hell, if you want to do it, marathon both the movie and the game. Do it.
Yep. And the back is really well done. It's really, really great. I mean, obviously, they put the Betty Betty White quote. I give it 4 Golden Girls. It's the best picture of the year. Yeah, I Deadpool, great choice. Now we get to the movie releases. Now it's time for my review of Money Monster. Almost 50 minutes into the show. I'm sorry, guys. This is what happens when you have a lot of trailers and a lot of news. Put the Blu-ray down! No, don't rip it off. Don't rip it off. I tried to rip it off.
Really? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Because sometimes you can, like... Sometimes you can get away with that and get it all.
Yeah, and then, and then some of it just got stuck, and I'm like, it's other times "Well, like, fuck." Well, that's what happens when you buy movies at Best Buy and they have to put it on the fucking slipcover. I think it has to
deal with the, yeah, it's a bit the texture.
But whatever. Money Monster. This is the film directed by Jodie Foster. It stars George Clooney, Julia Roberts, and Jack O'Connell. All right, Matt. If you want to ask me some questions.
What were you thinking of before going into this movie, since we're going
to
start?
I was looking forward to it. I will say that the trailer kind of did spoil a little bit too much, but I love the cast. I love George Clooney. Julia Roberts is great. And Jack O'Connell, ever since Unbroken, he's really been on my A game. I've been really curious to see whatever else he does after that movie. I didn't see that movie 71 that he did. I heard it was good, but I didn't get around to seeing it. I love Jodie Foster, but I've only seen one of her films as a director, The Beaver. Good film, not great, but good for a actress directing. She's done other stuff as a director, but I mostly consider her awesome as an actress.
Now, with the movie now. Alright, so what did you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it. I don't get the mixed reception it's getting. It's getting a very mixed reception on Rotten Tomatoes. It wasn't a great movie. It was solid. It was entertaining. I had fun with it. It was very claustrophobic. I was on the edge of my seat throughout the entire movie. But I will say that it was kind of a small letdown because the trailer... I did like the trailers while it did kind of spoil some stuff. I was looking forward to it because of the talent involved. But moving on to the director, starting off with the directing, the film was directed by Jodie Foster. She did good directing. You could tell the claustrophobic vibe of it when they're inside that newsroom. When they go outside a few times, sometimes they cut outside. I didn't love the stuff that took place outside until the last like 20 minutes of the film. But I didn't hate the stuff that took place outside. I just preferred the stuff that was in the newsroom because it felt more claustrophobic than going outside. But it did add to the story. The writing wasn't great. It was a simple story. It could have been a little stronger, but I think sometimes when you have too many writers on a film, it just kind of boggles down the script a little bit. So, I mean,
would they have like 4 writers or
3?
That's still a lot.
Yeah. Cinematography wise, this isn't a film you really pick at the cinematographer for. It was nicely shot and everything. Editing wise, the movie, I thought the movie was like 95 minutes long. It turns out it was like 110 minutes. It wasn't a fast-paced film. It was a slow-burn film for sure, and it definitely earns the slow-burn title for sure. But it's not like something that was super fast-paced like I thought it would be.
Super slick.
Yeah, super slick.
I was going to say, and this kind of goes like, well, if we're going to get to the negatives, I should probably wait.
Well, I already talked about what...
Because I wasn't planning on seeing the movie now. That's why I watched reviews. Hey...
And yeah, no, the movie's worth seeing, like, just at matinee.
I was going to say is it a little too preachy with the Wall Street stuff? No?
All right. Oh, yeah, adds to the story. It's kind of relevant to the story because George Clooney's character is a talk show host on
the
Wall Street show.
It's
kind of
like the Big Short, like, sequel, in a way.
Yeah, he's kind of playing like a Jim Cramer type of guy. And, when you find out why Jack O'Connell's character's taking him hostage, you understand what he's doing, but at the same time, you're like, I feel bad for you, but at the same time, I don't. Same goes for Clooney's character. You're like, I feel bad for you, but at the same time, I don't. And then Julia Roberts, obviously, you feel bad for her.
She's there. It's like,
she's trying to help. That's the thing. But, now moving on to the acting. Clooney's fantastic here. He's great. He has his charm. He has his wit. He's great in the dramatic scenes, for sure. I love Clooney. I love the guy. I just did my top 5 show yesterday on Clooney. I watched 3 Clooney movies within the last 2 days. And, I love the guy to death, and he was great here. Julia Roberts is always good. She was very good in this film. She's the producer and director trying to get everyone safe and stuff. And she did a very good job. Jack O'Connell, excellent here. Although, he does have an accent that's kind of a little iffy, kind of like a New York accent. I couldn't tell if it was his real accent or just a fake accent. It was a little hard to tell. In Unbroken, his accent was completely gone. It was gone. His accent, he was just talking in the very normal American accent, so
Yeah, I guess he's going for that Irish-American, like, accent.
No, a typical New Yorker, like...
No, but what is he like? Because I remember, Jack O'Connell's like, was he British or Irish? I don't remember.
He's not American, that's for sure. But all the performances, no qualms with the acting at all. No qualms with the acting. So, would I say go see it in the theater? Go a matinee. You don't need to pay full price for it. I gave the movie a B. I still stand by that. I enjoyed the film. It is worth seeing if you're looking for a solid, entertaining thriller, because the day is next week when we have three movies coming out. They're not thrillers. We're not really going to have any thrillers in the theater for a while, actually. Probably, like, till, like, I don't know, honestly, when the next big thriller is coming out. Not horror thriller, just thriller itself. I would have to think about that. But, yeah, Money Monster, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. Okay, so now we get to the box office results for the weekend. I go on boxofficemojo.com, look it up, and then Matt's going to tell me what he thinks is the top five. So, Matt, what is the top five of this week? Do you need to know what else came out this week?
Yeah, I remember what came out. Money Monster came out this week. Last week was Civil War. And then I remember all that Jungle Book stuff. But
The Darkness also came out this week. Not see that because...
Bacon, man.
I love the bacon, but...
I don't get why they keep saying... I love the bacon! I don't get why they keep saying Devil Demonic. It's obviously Native American stuff, you know?
Well, the devil's involved. All right, Matt. So what is the top five this weekend?
Shit. Like, what came out like 2 weeks ago that I forgot about?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
I would say number five is The Darkness.
Okay.
Number four is Mother's Day.
Okay.
I would say three would be Money Monster.
Okay.
Two, Jungle Book. One, Civil War.
Wow, three out of five, right. Mm-hmm. You named every single film in the top five, but you switched to four and five.
Oh, God, so Darkness had more money than Mother's Day.
Okay, Mother's Day came in at number five with 3.2 million. The budget is 25, domestically 28, and worldwide 28 as well. No. Number four, The Darkness with 5.1 million. The budget was probably like $2, so I mean, whatever. It doesn't have any domestic total. Listen, I love the bacon, but just no.
Too much bacon.
No. Number three, Money Monster with $15 million. I didn't think it would make this much money, but I'm kind of glad it did.
Was it a low budget, too?
The budget is $27 million. Yeah. So domestically $15 and worldwide has $19.7. I think it could break
still
even,
good.
But I don't know if it will.
It's good.
I wouldn't be surprised if it...
For a small movie like that, it's a good opening.
I think, like, because it is a smaller movie that came out. Number two, The Jungle Book. You gotta say, man. The Jungle Book. With 17.7 million.
With Peter Leongo.
17.7 million. This movie is still killing it. Holy fucking shit.
Kill it.
The budget is 175. Domestically, 311. And worldwide, 828.
Come on, you can break that billion.
I think I'm going to go with 900 million. Really? I don't think it can make a billion.
That'd be cool, though, if it does.
I don't think it will make $1 billion.
But still, it's probably one of the highest live action.
And number one, of course, for the second week in a row, is Captain America Civil War with 72.5 million. Okay, the budget is 250, domestically 295, and worldwide 940.
Holy shit, it's going to break a billion.
See, that's going to break billion, not...
That's going to break billions. Yeah.
Not...
Billions.
Not the other one.
I mean, at this
pace... Zootopia is number six.
It's still doing good.
2 months. 2.8 million this week, and it was number six.
The last movie I remember.
Oh, it's so close to a billion.
That last movie...
It only needs to make 30 more to make a billion.
30 more million?
Yeah.
It's not good. I don't think
If it didn't come out worldwide yet, then...
Quickly, grab your mothers and fathers and drag them to go see that movie. Get the 30 million it needs.
Yes.
Here, if you've seen it still, go see it again.
Yes. Alright, guys, that is the end of Nerdy Scores, a film podcast, episode 38. Next week on episode 39... Gonna be a big triple feature. We're gonna try to see each of these movies. I'll probably see each of them.
It's gonna be a big three-way.
You need to. That's sounding wrong. You're probably gonna have to see all. You have to see all.
Hey, for the nice guys, that makes sense.
Yes, the nice guys, it makes sense. Neighbors 2, sure. Angry Birds, possibly.
The birds.
Yes, Angry Birds, Neighbors 2, and the nice guys. I will be seeing Angry Birds with you guys on Thursday, hopefully.
Bam, this motherfucker. All
right. Friday, I'll probably see the nice guys. And Saturday, I'm going to go with my family to see Neighbors 2.
Let's see. I think I'm playing, I'm going to see with you. Then I'm probably either going to see Nice Guys with somebody, or probably maybe by myself, and then I'm probably gonna see.
Try to see Nate.
Well, I'm gonna see if I can see either of them with Kirk because I haven't like been with him in a while.
Well, ask. Well, he's done with school, right?
Yeah, I just talked.
Well,
to him
just himself. Ask him. Ask him if you could go with him on Friday or Saturday, or even like Sunday morning to go see the movie.
Because they want to see. Yeah, they both want to. They want to see both of those movies.
With Nice Guys and Neighbors too. Yeah. I think. Try to see all of them because you love The Neighbor. I love Neighbors.
Like I said, all of them, my most hyped is Nice Guys, definitely.
Yeah, for me, it's the same thing as well. I don't know which one's going to be the big mind breaker.
Every trailer I watch wants me to go see it even more every time I watch it.
I was already sold before the trailers because of the people involved. So you guys, that's
Matt Bomber too.
Yeah, Matt Bomber. So guys, that's the end of this episode. We were an hour long. Thank you so much for listening. You guys can follow me on Twitter at BrianSuffield. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BrianSuffield. Yeah, thank you so much for watching. And we'll see you guys next week.
And you can follow this guy on Deadpool.
And speaking of Deadpool, watch the Deadpool Honest trailer. Did you see it?
No, I have to watch that.
Fuck, dude!
I'm gonna watch that now. Right?
You need to watch it. Alright, guys, that's the end of this episode.
I have the playlist, so I'll just go.
Yes, that's the end of this episode, Nerdy Scores of Film Podcast. We'll see you guys next week for episode 39.
Did you watch the Force Awakens one?
Yes!
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good one.
Yes! So, guys, without any interruptions, that's the end of this episode, Nerdy Scores of Film Podcast. Next week, episode 39, Neighbors 2. Angry Birds movie and The Nice Guys. We'll see you guys next week. Adios.
Amigos. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.